I want to take you on a trip with me this morning. It was exactly 50 years ago today, less maybe a couple of hours, 3 hours or so, because Iowa, I've learned, is 2 hours ahead somehow. I want you to come with me to a really small town in northeast Iowa called Burr Oak. That's where I grew up. It was a mile and a half from our farm. We were in the basement of this small church. I was there with my close pastor friends, Pastor Hermeyer, Pastor Nessheim, John Estrom, a seminary classmate from Decorah. That little church didn't have a big pipe organ like you have, just a little electronic, but I could hear the melodies starting as the organist started to play a hymn we sang last Sunday, Lift High the Cross. Now, as I'm standing here, I can remember going up those narrow steps out of that basement where I had gone to Sunday school, and I don't know if you've been part of a church community, but we got Sunday school pins back then, and I had one that hung down as far as anybody else. I remember walking down the aisle, catching eye contact with my mother, Lenora, and my dad, Carl. They had tears in their eyes, and they were sitting just a pew ahead of George and Minnie. George and Minnie were my sponsors. They had baptized me. There were my cousins. And yes, a few classmates of mine from Decorah High School who couldn't believe what was happening that day. For soon, Jim was going to be a pastor. 50 years ago, this morning, the 13th of August, 1967. But it wasn't the day I thought it would be. For 2 days before, the congregation had been rocked by a tragedy. Many of the people were simply distracted and sad. Three families, you see, from that little community had gone fishing down to Lansing on the Mississippi River, and their small Alumacraft boat somehow, I think his name was Ted Thompson, was driving the boat, and somehow that motor stopped right out in the middle of the river, and that boat couldn't navigate the current, the oars wouldn't do it, and under the barge they went, two drowned, and Pearl Gullickson still had not been found. What was I going to say? What would they hear? What if my response didn't measure up somehow? What if I couldn't accomplish what a rookie pastor was supposed to do? My goodness, you'd been to college, you had been to seminary, you had your internship. You better be able to do it, young man. That's what's going through my mind. Fear is sometimes a very helpful self-protective instinct, isn't it? It can hold us back and hinder us and get us out of trouble many times. So my first question to you is a simple one. Have you ever been afraid of failing expectations? What about those of you who are just about ready to go into a new school year? Yeah. How's that working for you? Well, I had been called to serve as an associate pastor at First Lutheran Church in Sioux City, Iowa. That's not in South Dakota. Sioux City is in Iowa. It was a larger congregation relocated from downtown. It was a new building right on the country club. First Lutheran Sioux City was the one you listened to on the radio on Sunday mornings if you couldn't get to church on Sunday. I was introduced on September 3rd. I was installed on Rally Sunday, September 10th. And Stan Satre, the senior pastor, was 37. I was 27. And we are both above our heads, below our necks. By the next summer, 6 months later, Bev and Stan and their three girls head up to northern Minnesota for a month-long vacation. And the day after they left, Sioux City was alive, because the Air National Guard and those jets out there, those guys put the hammer down when they took off out of town. And people cheered because they were going to save us in Vietnam. I was alone. 2 weeks had passed since Stan had left. They were going to be gone for a month. On Saturday, July 15th, I was putting the final touches on a sermon when I received a phone call from someone who had heard the news that one of the jets had been shot down. And they thought the pilot and his family were affiliated with First Lutheran Church, Lieutenant Warren Keith Brown, 29 years old. I had assisted Stan with some funerals, but had never conducted one by myself. And this one was over the top. It would be televised. The governor of Iowa would be attending, and there would be a jet flyover. What was I going to say? What would the people hear that day? We read in our gospel lesson this morning, immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Take heart, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Now, these stories are my stories, but they're not about me. They're about you. For has everything in your life turned out exactly the way you thought it would? Probably not. So, this past Wednesday, when I led the pastor's text study in Everett, I asked the pastors this question. I asked each person to share what would come to their mind as they think about the congregations they're preaching to this Sunday, about the fears that people might bring with them. And the list that they volunteered was all over the top, from living in a culture of fear stoked by the media, to political polarization, to cultural panic, to the fear of dying, to losing a spouse, to drug and heroin addiction, to the beginnings of school, dealing with pain, restlessness with the world order. And this morning I just added Charlottesville and the people in Guam to my list. Here's the deal. Does the text that we have this morning and what happened that day within the gospel account of Matthew address the real world that we live in? I think it does. I think it does. Life has all kinds of turns and challenges, storms of varying degrees, some easy to get through, still others, like the perfect storm, seeming impossible to navigate and out of control. So that Peter doesn't just flounder because he takes his eyes off of Jesus, but because he grows afraid. And quite frankly, his fear is justified. It's a storm, for heaven's sakes, raging powerfully enough to sink a boat, let alone a single person. He has, in other words, a perfectly good reason to be afraid. And at times, so do we. Whether it's a fear of return of an illness or stability of a fragile relationship or loneliness after loss or not being accepted by those we esteem or whether we fare well in this new chapter in our lives or what the future of this congregation might be or the direction of our country. Could be a storm of fear, a hurricane of pain, or a tsunami of guilt and shame. And we could go on and on. You name it. But whatever robs the children of God from the life that God intends, and I would suggest that Psalm 69 nails it when it says in the first verse, "Save me, for the water has come up to my neck." So, the good news, the gospel. This text, I don't think most of the texts that we have on Sunday are those that try to give us advice, as much as they are to announce the good news of the gospel that God has for you and for me. And one of the good news things in this gospel is that there are lots of people in the water with you. And let me explain. Where are you sitting now? What do you call this? What do you call this? Sanctuary, but that's not what I'm looking for. It's called the nave. The nave of a church is where the people gather. It comes from the root word navy, and it garners up the image of a ship. We come here weekly with other people as the ship is tossed and turned around through the storms that you and I bring with us. So the one thing that I see in the text is that there's value in that community. There are lots of folks out there in water with you, all of us splashing around in swells of insecurities and paralysis that ironically enough link us to one another. There's an old gospel hymn that says, Jesus calls us over the tumult of life's wild and restless seas, in our joy and in our sorrows, Christian, come and follow me. But in today's gospel, Jesus doesn't just simply call us over the tumult. Jesus doesn't call us out of the tumult. He calls us into the tumult. The very waves he is walking on, rough waves, are the waves that he chooses to have you and I walk with him, knowing that his hand is always there to take us back into the safety of the boat. Now, even though I was scared out of my wits, as I climbed those steps at Burr Oak Lutheran Church 50 years ago this morning, and really wondered if I was up to the task at Sioux City when the lights came on and the TV cameras rolled. What I said then to those people is pretty much summed up in the words of Isaiah. Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, who formed you, fear not, For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be there with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One, your Savior. I think that's pretty good, huh? Pretty good stuff to lean into amidst the surprises and the fear that is difficult at times, maybe always, to escape. And yet we can trust in that one that is there always for us, for you and for me, and for the world. And so let's talk about one more thing. Is it important that people are here on Sunday morning? Not just to pay the bills of the church, but also to have them a place where they can come and be in the rocking boat with all of us. Amen.